Imagine a world where a single mistake, or worse, a violation beyond your control, forever brands you as fallen. This is the world of Tess Sturdyfield, whose journey from innocence to tragedy forms the heart of Thomas Hardy's masterpiece. Published in 1891, Tess of the D'Urbervilles scandalized Victorian England with its sympathetic portrayal of a ruined woman and its indictment of society's sexual double standards. The novel follows Tess, a beautiful country girl whose life unravels after she's sexually exploited by a wealthy cousin. When she later finds true love with Angel Clare, her past returns to haunt her, triggering a cascade of events that lead to her ultimate destruction. Through Tess's story, Hardy poses a question that still resonates today: how much of human suffering stems from cruel fate, and how much from an unforgiving society that punishes women for the very experiences it allows men? The story's tragic arc begins when Jack D'Urberfield discovers his ancestral connection to the noble D'Urberville Knights. Seeking to improve their fortunes, the family encourages their young daughter Tess to visit wealthy relatives who share the D'Urberville name, not realizing these are merely opportunists who purchased the aristocratic title. At the estate, Tess encounters Alec, a young man whose demeanor and calculated behavior suggest questionable motives. A seemingly innocent scene where he offers her strawberries becomes laden with underlying tension, as he observes her natural, unguarded manner through a veil of cigarette smoke. Tess, feeling responsible after an accident claims their family's horse and primary livelihood, accepts employment at the estate. A pivotal and traumatic encounter occurs between Alec and Tess in the ancient woodland known as the Chase. Hardy's narrator reflects with profound sadness on how such a grievous harm could befall someone so innocent. Why it was that upon this beautiful feminine spirit, delicate as morning dew, there should have been imposed such a harsh destiny, many thousand years of philosophical inquiry have failed to explain. This devastating event marks an irreversible turning point in Tess's life. It was to be, creating a permanent divide between her past and future self. Returning home pregnant and devastated, Tess faces her mother's bitter accusation. "Why didn't you think of doing some good for your family instead of thinking only of yourself?" Her anguished reply: "How could I be expected to know? I was a child when I left this house 4 months ago. Why didn't you tell me there was danger in menfolk?" exposes society's cruel paradox of keeping her ignorant of sexual matters, then punishing her for that ignorance. The birth and death of Tess's child, Sorrow, marks another turning point. In a powerful scene, Tess performs a makeshift baptism for her dying infant while wearing her white nightgown. When the parson refuses a Christian burial, her pleading eventually sways him, though the baby is buried by lantern light in that shabby corner of God's allotment for unbaptized infants, Hardy's indictment of the church's cruelty. As winter passes, Tess transforms from simple girl to complex woman, developing symbols of reflectiveness and a note of tragedy in her voice. Unable to remain in a village filled with painful memories, she accepts a position at Talbothay's Dairy, where unexpected hope rises within her as the sap in the twigs. At Talbothay's Dairy, in the lush valley of Great Dairies, Tess meets Angel Clare, a gentleman's son studying farming after rejecting his father's religious path. Their attraction grows amid the sensuous summer backdrop. During ethereal dawn milkings, Angel sees Tess as a visionary essence of woman, calling her Artemis and Demeter, though she simply wants to be Tess. This idyllic period represents Tess's second chance at happiness. The dairy's fertility contrasts with her earlier experiences. Her fellow milkmaids, Reddy, Marion, and Iz, all love Angel themselves, yet show solidarity rather than jealousy. When Angel confesses his love, Tess resists, feeling unworthy because of her past. She repeatedly attempts to confess, but falters at crucial moments. Her mother advises her never to reveal her bygone trouble, reasoning that many women, some of the highest in the land, have similar hidden secrets. This maternal advice, though pragmatic, contributes to the tragedy by encouraging deception. As their wedding approaches, Tess's conscience battles with her desire for happiness. The ceremony carries ominous undertones, a cock crowing in the afternoon, considered a terrible omen by onlookers. Nature itself seems to warn of impending disaster. On their wedding night, Angel confesses a brief affair and receives Tess's immediate forgiveness. When Tess reveals her history with Alec d'Urberville, Angel cruelly declares, "The woman I have been loving is not you," seeing her as an imposter. This rejection exposes Victorian moral hypocrisy. Angel's willing transgression is forgivable, but Tess's victimization is not. His intellectual progressivism crumbles before conventional morality. In a haunting sleepwalking scene, Angel carries Tess to a stone coffin, unconsciously murmuring, "My poor, poor Tess, my dearest, darling Tess, so sweet, so good, so true." His unconscious loves the true Tess, while his conscious mind rejects her. After separating, Tess endures harsh labor at Flintcomb Ash Farm, a bleak landscape contrasting with Talbot Hay's abundance. In Brazil, illness prompts Angel to question, who was the moral man? Still more pertinently, who was the moral woman? He recognizes his hypocrisy, but too late. While Angel realizes his mistake, Alec d'Urberville reappears in Tess's life as a religious convert. After Tess's father dies and her family faces eviction, Alec exploits her devotion to her siblings to regain control over her. Believing Angel will never return, Tess surrenders to Alec to save her family. When Angel returns to England, weakened by illness and remorse, he finds Tess living as Alec's mistress. Their reunion is devastating, with Tess repeatedly telling him it is too late, despite his pleas for forgiveness. The novel climaxes when Tess, realizing Angel truly loves her and that Alec deceived her, murders her seducer, an act representing both her final victimization and rebellion. Angel and Tess enjoy a brief period of happiness while fleeing authorities, finding refuge in an empty mansion where they live in dreamlike seclusion. Their flight ends at Stonehenge, where Tess rests on an ancient altar stone. This pagan site, predating Christianity and its moral codes, provides her only peaceful resting place. As authorities surround them at dawn, Tess accepts her fate. "It is as it should be. I am almost glad. Yes, glad. This happiness could not have lasted." After Tess's execution, Angel and her sister Liza Lou walk away as a black flag rises, signaling justice was done. The narrator concludes, "The president of the immortals had ended his sport with Tess, suggesting her fate resulted from cosmic cruelty or a society whose moral codes serve power, not justice." Hardy's masterpiece resonates because it confronts universal questions about justice, forgiveness, and the conflict between natural morality and social convention. Through Tess, punished not for her sins, but for society's, we face our complicity in systems that crush the vulnerable while protecting the powerful. Her story challenges us to create a world where moral worth comes from remaining true to oneself, not from arbitrary rules or accidents of fate.